In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. But before I look at that, I want to speak a word that Jesus said from John's Gospel. I think it's the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I know what the Father is saying, and I speak what the Father tells me to speak." And I don't only speak what he tells me to speak, I speak it the way he tells me to speak it. So Jesus had the revelation of the Father. He is the full revelation of the Father. Jesus did not do anything without the guidance of the Father. He was completely dependent upon the Father. Now, we believe as Catholics that the church, the body of Christ, is the presence of Jesus in the world. I believe that. We call it Lumen Gentium in the great document on the church, Lumen, the light of the nations. Well, I want to know this question. Does God still speak to the church? Does God still speak to you? Does God still speak to me? Does God speak? I'm looking at the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to see what happened in the early church. Now, it says they were in the church at Antioch. Remember, at Antioch, that's where they were first called Christians. This was a Gentile church. It is not a Jewish church. And they were at Antioch prophets and teachers. Now, that's the first thing. They had prophets. And we remember St. Paul saying, you know, that the prophet was the gift that you needed to pray for, especially the gift of prophecy. Barnabas and Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who was the close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And then while they were worshiping, isn't that interesting? While they were worshiping the Lord with fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I will call them to do." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them off. Isn't that something that the Holy Spirit still spoke while they were fasting and praying? Isn't that something that the Holy Spirit spoke, and now the church sent them off? So they sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus, where they preached the word of God vigorously. Well, my Lord, this whole thing about Jesus hearing from the Father and the early church hearing from the Holy Spirit is just the continuity of the way it should be. That's the way it should be. But there's a word that Jesus spoke to us a long time ago it's one of the words that's very scary. And this is what he said. He said, "I call you to be in the world, but not of the world." Now, that's a very difficult thing, because you know what? The world is a very powerful instrument. And if Jesus calls us to be in the world and not of the world, I'm going to tell you that the world sells its goods not only to the people of the world, but to the church too. The world sells its goods. And you know, it would be so much easier if Jesus said, "I call you to be out of the world and in me." We wouldn't make much a difference, but at least, I don't know what would be, but Jesus said, "In the world, but not of the world." And that's a very difficult thing, because the world is very attractive. The world has very many things to sell us. I'm not talking about goods. I'm talking about the way we operate. We do not operate. The world does not operate in faith. The world operates through lies, okay? And it's very easy to be in the world, the church, and become of the world. It's very easy for you to be in the world and to become of the world. It's very easy for me to be in the world and become of the world. It's very easy, you know, especially if you go to church an hour a week and you're in the world 168 hours a week. You know what I'm saying? You've been sold by the world. You've been micromanaged by the world. The world has just completely got you and tells you exactly what to do and how to do it. And yet the Spirit of God spoke to Paul and Barnabas. And, you know, this is what we do not understand, that God still speaks. And he calls us to be different than the world. Let me tell you what it said in the Observatore Romano. Now, that is the Vatican's paper, all right? Now, I don't know who wrote this article, but you can Google it yourself. The Observatore Romano, which is the Vatican papal, talked about our President Obama and said, you know, he's not so bad. He's for social justice. Now, I don't know who is informing the Observatore Romano. This man is not for social justice. He is a socialist, okay? He is a communist. He is not for social justice. The only person Obama cares about is Obama. But you see, whoever is writing in the Observatore Romano about Mr. Obama has no idea about being in the world and not of the world, because they're reading the newspapers, and the newspapers are all pro-Obama. And if you believe what the newspapers tell you, well, you know what, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge for a buck and a half, maybe $1,000, $1,500, you can buy the Brooklyn Bridge from me, okay? If you believe what the newspapers say, if you believe what the media says, I'll sell something to you, you know. But yet, you see, our Lord Jesus said to be in the world but not of the world. I'm very, very, very weary about this insurance thing that Mr. Obama is, I call it the abomination insurance. Other people call it the Obama health care. I call it the abomination insurance, okay? It's an abomination. And you know who I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about the elderly. Because the church says, this is what the church says, and I believe this, at least in my life, that we have a preference for the poor and the elderly and the weak. That's what the church teaches, that we have to have a preference for the poor, the elderly, and the weak. And you say, well, Father Tom, people that don't have health care are going to get health care. Yeah, that's right. And just think about it. Millions and millions of people are going to come into this healthcare thing, all right, with the same amount of doctors, all right? Somebody's going to suffer. And you know who's going to suffer? The old people are going to suffer. And you know what else? It's going to be free abortions. That's right, free abortions. It's the whole package. And I do not understand why the church is not up in arms. Because you know why? They're afraid, because they'll say, well, we're against the poor. No, I'm telling you, any poor person go into an emergency room and get help. My friend Nicholas, okay, you know, he's been a pilgrim for years and years, praying, doesn't beg, works once in a while when he wants to work, has spent hours and hours on his knees, never begs, never asks for anything. When he's sick, he goes to the hospital when he's very sick, and they take care of him. You know what's going to happen? This is what my fear is. And it's not a fear that keeps me awake. It's a fear that's based on truth. We have in the Archdiocese of Boston many, many priests that are very old, okay? Very, very old. And these very, very old priests have cared for people for 50, 60 years, okay? This is real. If the abomination health care comes in, these priests, if we go with the abomination health care, which I think we will, you know why? Because we'll be saving money, and it's all about money in the Archdiocese of Boston, if you haven't learned. These priests will be neglected. These priests will be... Now, I hope the Archdiocese of Boston will continue on its Tufts health care, which gives perfect, perfect health care for old and young priests, okay? I hope that the Archdiocese of Boston will not renege on that. It's very expensive. I know it's very expensive, but you want to know what? Our priests are worth it. These old priests are worth it. I know some of these old priests. Father Boyle, who ministered in Charlestown and in Quincy, and who's given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a man of God, Father Boyle. What's going to happen to him? Father Lucy, who taught at the seminary, man of God. What's going to happen to him? You know, I can go through these names of these of these good men that have surrendered their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto the church. And if the church says, we want to save money because we're going to go on the abomination health care, these priests will not be taken care of. They will not be taken care of the way they're being taken care of now. But not only the priests, your grandmother and your grandfather, your mother and your father, because when you're old, I'm going to tell you, you look at the other socialistic healthcare systems in the world, be it Poland, or be it Canada, or be it the United Kingdom, or be it wherever in Europe, and you will find out that the elderly, they don't care about the elderly. You only have so much money and so much time to spend, and you know what? The old people are going to be pushed aside. And if we have a preference for the elderly, I think we need to have a preference for the elderly. And not only this abomination will give us also free abortions. And if you think free abortions aren't going to increase the number of abortions, I'm going to tell you, last year at Planned Parenthood in the United States of America, 300,000 children were killed, sucked out of the womb, and 300 women damaged. And who talks about these things? We have a preference for the poor. I don't think so. I don't think we have a preference for anyone in the church but ourselves. I think we're only thinking about ourselves, how to keep the Titanic afloat, and not doing the work of God and not listening to the Holy Spirit like they did in the church at Antioch. Who listens to the Holy Ghost in the church? Who listens to the Holy Ghost in the church? I don't know who listens. But I tell you, they separated Paul and they separated Barnabas. And they sent them out to Seleucia to preach the word vigorously, and they went. And then they went to other places because the Spirit of God told them to do this. What is the Spirit of God saying to the churches today? What is the Spirit of God say? Be in the world, but not of the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said that. Be in the world, but not of the world. And you know what? It's a very difficult thing to be in the world and not of the world, because the world, as we know it, has allurements. Even the Observatory Romano is duped, thinking that President Obama is for social justice. I'll tell you, social justice he's for. He's for himself. That's who he's for. He's for himself. You know, I have this theory, and this is only a theory. This is not from the gospel. This is a theory. But I know people. If I don't know anything else, I know people. Okay, I've been with people all my life. I can be in a church that can be Catholic, Protestant, it can be Orthodox, it can be Pentecostal. I can be in a church and I can listen to the minister and I can say to myself, you know what? This guy, this woman really loves Jesus. They're sold out. Like I could tell you know, like Shelley Baker. Like Shelley Baker, I want to tell you, she pours her life out. She pours her life out. And I know she loves Jesus. Oh, I know she loves Jesus. And you know, for what she has poured out, she has not received, but she continues to pour out. Sister Gwen Shaw, my Lord, I don't think there's a woman alive like Sister Gwen Shaw. Not a woman alive. Father Goudreau in Lynn, wonderful, wonderful priest of God. Father McGann in Boston, wonderful priest of God. When somebody opens their mouth about Jesus, I can tell if they love him. I'm going to tell you, when I look at Mr. Obama, this is what I see. A poor, young, little child that was brought up without a daddy, a child that had a little identity, was not fathered, had no control, was told what to do. I'm not saying he wasn't loved, but father was missing. And now, with what he had as a child with no control, he wants to control the world. It's like the person who comes to me, you know. They have no control over their life, but they want to control everybody in the office. They have no control over their life, but they're going to control everybody else. Control freaks. I tell you, Mr. Obama, as I see it, and this is my opinion, had no control as a child. no father, no daddy. A broken home. Now he wants to control the auto industry. He wants to control the banking industry. He wants to control the health industry. He wants to control your life and my life. You know what? And if the church goes for this, the church is very stupid. To be in the world and not of the world means to hear from God. And I'm calling the church to listen to what God is saying, not Obama, and not me, but what God is saying. I'm calling the church and you and me to start listening to what God is saying to us, for these are perilous times, to listen to God. And God doesn't speak against his word, and neither does he speak against what the church has taught. But the church needs to be challenged, because you know what? We've been in the world, and we've become the world. That's the problem. And you know what? I'm the same way. I've been in the world, too. And I have to fight not to become the world. The world, as I know it, is a very strong entity. And the power behind the world is Satan. I want you to know that. I am not talking about the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwells therein. That's the earth. But the world and its power is Satan, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The world as we know it, my friends, is a satanic power. To live in the world and not to become of the world is the biggest grace that there is, because Satan has all these allurements that he gives to people. What does Jesus give us but a cross and the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. The world says, you do this, and I'm going to make you the head of whatever. What does the Lord say? You do this, you're going to wash feet. Hallelujah. Two different worlds, two different kings, two different kingdoms. And yet, I want nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to offer me. What can it offer me? Hell. I am not talking about the earth. I'm talking about the world system. And we are rooted in the world system. We do not hear from God. We use our intellect alone. We have a five-year plan. I'm telling you, St. Paul did not have a five-year plan. They listened to the Holy Spirit, and they did what the Spirit of God told them to do. There was no five-year plan. In the time of St. Paul, the church was being built up through the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit. Because the church, all churches now, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, you know. You know, I have somebody that called me the other night. This is an interesting thing, okay? I'm not trying to blow my own horn. Because, you know, I don't have to blow my own horn. I know who I am. Somebody called me at 12 o'clock at night, okay? They got thrown out of their house for whatever reason. They have two children, all right? They called me. Now, they go into a Protestant church, all right? They go into a Protestant church. Why didn't they call their pastor? You know, that's what I want to know. Why didn't they call me 12 o'clock at night? We're on the street, and we have no money. Now, I said to them, this is what I said to them, take a taxi, I will pay for the taxi, and I will find a place for you to stay tonight. My question is, why didn't they call their pastor? You know, it's a big question. Why did they call me? But then we hear their pastor extolled. Oh, we hear the word of God from him. Mickey Mouse, call your pastor. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. They were on the street. They needed help. And so I couldn't sleep that night if I knew that these people were on the street. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that, I'm going to tell you, that's not a great thing. That's just being a human being, not even a Christian, okay? I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking humanity, not Christianity. How could I go to bed that night in an air-conditioned room and think that these three people that I know are on the street and they've got no place to go? How could I do that? I'm not talking Christianity. I'm talking humanity. Why couldn't they call their pastor? Well, that's a good question. And yet all the accolades about this church, give me a break. If the man can't help you when you're in the midst of trouble like this, my friends, he can speak all the words that he wants to speak. He can have all the power of the Holy Ghost. But you know what Jesus said? What you didn't do to the least of my friends, you didn't do to me. That's what Jesus said. And he also said, when they said, we prophesied in your name, we healed in your name, I never knew you. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. I never knew you. I'm not throwing bouquets at myself. I'm just saying, you know what? I don't want to live by the world standards. I'm not into it. The world's got nothing to offer me. I want to hear from God. I want to hear what God's saying. Even if I've got two tin ears, which means I don't hear well, I still want to hear from God. Because the world's got nothing to offer me. And if there's any bishop listening to me, get away from this Obamination insurance. Get away from it. Get away. Your priests will die. Abortions will increase. I get emails from people and they say, you know, Father Tom, I wish all our parish priests could hear you. I'm sure they'd snap me off. Because I'm not for the status quo, and neither am I for my own agenda. I have no agenda. Like, what does it profit me to say these things? But these things have to be said. I don't want to be of the world. I don't want to be of the world. The world's got nothing to offer me. Yet I live in the world, and I'm allured by the world, and I'm attracted by the world, but it's got nothing to offer me. And it's so easy to be in the world, my friends. You, I'm talking, and becoming just like the world. And the world's ruler is Satan. I'm saying to you, you need to be converted. Oh, I received the baptism of the Spirit. Yeah, you could have received it 19 times, but you're in the world, and you need to be converted. You need to be like Jesus Christ. You need to be around people that are going to surrender their life to Jesus Christ and call you to be different. That's what you need, because you're being evangelized by the world. We all are. Everyone who hears my voice is being evangelized by the world and the world system. And what do we have as an alternative? 1 hour a week in church where they don't say anything for the most part? Give me a royal break. When we're fighting against the devil, and I'm going to tell you, the people who were ordained this year, they don't have any idea about spiritual combat. They have no idea about the demonic. They have no idea. As a matter of fact, in most of the seminaries, they say that the devil isn't even a real entity. Yet Paul the Sixth said the devil is not a power. He is a person. Isn't it funny how I can pull from what the Pope say? And we kind of say we're Catholic and we believe what the Pope say. Yeah, we believe what the Pope say when we're in the presence of the Pope. And then we do what we darn please. Give me a royal break. It's time to be re-evangelized by the cross. It's time to be around people who are going to have you be jealous of what they've got, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to live in the world and not be of the world. It's time to hear from God and not from the world. The world has nothing to offer us. It's time to be Lumen Gentium, the light of the nations and not the light of the world. I am ashamed of Observatory Romano that would say something like, Obama is for social justice, yeah. You know what my mother would call him? I will not even tell you what my mother would say. I wouldn't even tell you. And I don't care if he's black or white or green or yellow or purple. It doesn't make a difference of the color. It makes the difference of the philosophy and what they're doing. The color makes no difference. But what they do, and let me also tell you this, what he says, he's got that disease that the nuns used to say that begins with L. Remember? He used to say to the little boy, you've got a disease. What disease, sister? It begins with L. What's the disease? You lie. That's what the nuns used to say. You got that. And he lies through his teeth, and he's so sweet. Yeah, he's so sweet, all right. Only his mother could love him on payday. So sweet. So sweet. And people are buying what he's selling. How sad. Be in the world and not of the world. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for this country. Pray for the bishops. Pray for the church in Boston that we don't get duped and join the abomination insurance company because our old priest will die. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Not many people would say what I'm saying, but you know what? I'm going to say it anyway. You know why? Because I believe it's the truth. And if I'm wrong, I will apologize. You know why? Because I've got a big heart. And when I'm wrong, I say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.